I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all
everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, as usual, tonight's program will be jam-packed with information, lots of cutting-edge material. You're going to get a little bit of an insight as to the ET Yoga perspective on a lot of subjects, putting the dots together from over the years. And we'll also be talking about Oumuamua. And if you haven't heard about that one, which probably you haven't, I think you'll be thrilled to find out about it. And we'll also get into some reality creation. But before we get into all of that, we are going to kick off the program in the usual manner by having a little bit of japa yoga or a mantra repetition. And that will be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari, Hari, Hari Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari, Hari, Hari Om.
Hari
Hari, Hari, Hari.
Hari Hari Om.
Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om.
Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om.
Hari Om. Hari 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 Om. Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari
Om Hari 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 Om Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari
Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om. Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om,
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes. That was a clip from back in the 1970s. If you're a new listener to ET Yoga, You might be interested to know that Sri Swami Satchidananda was one of my main spiritual teachers, along with Paramahansa Yogananda and Sri Ramana Maharshi. And I even go back to the days of Baba Ram Das. In fact, it was through Baba Ram Das that I first picked up the Who Am I technique, which I will share at the end of the program. And in terms of extraterrestrial information that I've been cross-referencing for a number of decades, the primary groups are the Pleiadians, Andromedans, Sirians, Arcturians, and a lot of information also comes from Bashar, who is formerly from the Esasani, who have now shifted up a dimension and called the Shekhani. And those are the primary sources of information in terms of the kind of material that I present on ET Yoga. Also, if you're new to ET Yoga, you should know that ET Yoga is basically all about self-realization. It's about sharing information that will help people on their spiritual journey. And the core of ET Yoga is ET Yoga is the new yoga, or the yoga of belief, because as cutting-edge science has demonstrated, we live in a universe that's virtually a hologram that operates much like a simulation or a reality computer program, and like any reality computer program, it has a language of interpretation, and the language of interpretation of the universe is belief. So if you believe it, it is. And I guess the most analogous situation to that in our outer reality is the placebo effect, which basically works because people believe it. And it's not just true in the area of medicine, but it's true in every single area of your life. And this is kind of like, it's called putting the dots together. And if you put the dots together, you should realize that. And I found it really kind of strange that, as far as I know, I listen to lots of other programs and I'll listen to, I've never heard anybody else put those dots together in that manner. So it's kind of like, I think it's kind of a new concept that's been brought forth on ET Yoga. I'd like to now give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And also, if you're new to ET Yoga, you should all know that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical and big pharma as much as humanly possible. And that's in keeping with developing your own autonomy and your own power, your self-empowering yourself to not only create excellent health, but to also maintain it and deal with issues as they arise. Because as the Essenes have pointed out from thousands of years ago, for every ailment in the human condition, there is a natural plant herb that can relate and assist with that healing. And that's a philosophy that I try to really adhere to. And much of the time on ET Yoga, I kind of bring up cutting-edge science, like the most recent quantum physicist, Tom Campbell, coming out with his observations that intention affects future probability. So now we're even hearing from mainstream science how thought creates. And that's really the central theme of a lot of what I call the valid extraterrestrial material. I mean, when you go on the internet, in my estimation, you get a lot of garbage. You get a lot of disinformation. The whole subject with respect to extraterrestrials is really convoluted. It's a mess. And the really good stuff is there to help you with your self-empowerment. And that's why the marriage came about between ET and yoga. And for people that don't get the connection between yoga and ET, the real yoga means union of you and your higher self, or union of you and the universe. And although in the West, yoga has become synonymous with just the hatha yoga or the postures, and as Sri Swami Satchidananda would say, the real yoga is more about standing on your own two feet than it is standing on your head. Not that the yoga asanas aren't beneficial to your health and maintaining flexibility of your spine, but it's one little branch of yoga. And if you get into doing a little study and research, you'll know that integral yoga, which Sri Swami Satchidananda taught, is a combination of six different yogas. And but back to the subject of extraterrestrials, I find it really interesting. I've been doing some speaking at conferences around Florida recent to date, and I'm noticing that even among what I would consider the more astute and maybe spiritually advanced people, there seems to be lots of questions concerning this whole concept around extraterrestrials. And typically on the program, I just try to stick to the fact that I don't try to convince anybody of the existence of extraterrestrials. I just present information that I state comes from them, and then you can use the information or not, and then you can use what you can use. If there's truth in the information, you can use it. And that's also consistent with what Daryl Anka, who channels Bashar, that's what he does. Bashar presents himself as an extraterrestrial, but Daryl Anka can't prove that. He's been presenting information for about 25, 30 years, and a lot of it's very valuable information, and a lot of it's very accurate, in my opinion. But he's not wasting his time trying to prove anything to anybody. And I don't try to prove anything to anybody either, because you need to use your own discernment and listen to information and knowledge, and use what you can use. And what you can't use, you don't need to use. So on tonight's program, I'm going to be kind of giving you lots of opinions that I've put together over the course of studying extraterrestrial information. And you can use what you can use. And a lot of that, as I said, at the core is around the concept that thought creates, or that belief creates. You can say the same thing. And to me, this is also at the core of reality creation. This whole idea that, yes, our thoughts, our emotions, our definitions, and our intentions create the outer reality that we actually experience. And this is a huge factor. This is key. If you don't get that point, then, you know, you're really going to be stuck in a 3D world. I mean, you're not going to be moving on to fourth or fifth dimensional thinking or be successful at reality creation if you don't grasp that concept. And I appreciate that there's a lot of people that just aren't ready to grasp that concept, because it implies that you're 100% responsible for what you experience. And most people in our society aren't willing to accept any responsibility for anything. I mean, we push off all the responsibilities onto our professionals give us the answers, and we're becoming now so brainwashed that even with respect to computer technology, people are being trained to just listen to the computer provide an answer. And, of course, we are also being limited in our free speech and our liberties with respect to more and more censorship in terms of websites that are available to the public. I've even heard through Mike Adams that by next year they're supposed to be Google's apparently not going to be allowing people to even search websites that are either anti-vaccine, anti-chemotherapy, anti-GMO. I mean, it's getting to the point where of the ridiculous. And, of course, as David Icke has pointed out, once you start controlling information like that and you start controlling the people's what they can access and what they can't access, you're also controlling their perceptions. And if you control their perceptions, you're also controlling their behavior. And it's also, into my way of thinking, detrimental to human creativity, because we're becoming more and more reliant and addicted to technology to the detriment of human and humanity. But back into the extraterrestrial concepts, I mean, we have had people like in the military, even a former Navy admiral, his name was Hopkins, that came out and disclosed lots of information concerning extraterrestrials. And I'm not just talking about the grays that people, you know, the small aliens with the big eyes that are primarily involved with the abduction scenarios. And staggering amount of people actually apparently have been taken aboard craft, had their memories wiped after. And this is all in concert with a program to develop a hybrid species. They had a very difficult time, apparently, being successful, but eventually the grays were able to create six hybrid species. And one of those being the Yael. And according to Bashar, the Yael will be among the first to make actually open contact with humanity. One of their ships, in a shape of a boomerang, actually flew across the whole state of Arizona back, I think it was 1989. It's a phenomenon known as the Phoenix Lights. So related to that subject, it's kind of like they're already here, and they are making some contact with certain individuals. In point of the most people would be mothers that have had, they're becoming aware that they have children that are of a hybrid nature. And in my opinion, as just being in this field, part of the whole idea here is that's the next upgrade for humanity, is mixing the Yael, and it's kind of like if you had a field full of weeds and you put alfalfa in it, within not too long you're going to have a whole field full of alfalfa. And to my way of thinking, that's the plan for the human upgrade. In my opinion, we don't need a human upgrade. In fact, if you listen to Adranus, he's saying that even our moon is a monitoring station. It's kind of, it's an observatory or like a laboratory, and it's kind of an extraterrestrial private property station, and it's monitoring humanity as part of 22 different genetic programs or experiments that are taking place. Because our DNA is actually a combination of 22 different extraterrestrial species. And our spiritual heritage, or not really spiritual, extraterrestrial heritage, also spiritual in nature, comes from the constellation of Lyra and the Vega star system. And I've been saying that for a long time on ET Yoga, that that's where humanity's roots come from. And At one point in time, we were also designed to have a 12-strand DNA and 12-chakra system. And that particular system would not reflect that we only use 5% of our brain. It would be reflective of using 100% of our brains. And it's a, even the moon, it's a multi-civilization-based monitoring station. It's kind of like a satellite. It's a spacecraft. It's older than our planet. It's not originally from our own star system. It was brought here. That's our moon. And for a specific purpose and at a specific distance, and there's no accident that there's one side that's always not visible to the Earth. And what is happening in regards to the function of the moon is that it's a catalyst pertaining to what's commonly known as our own quarantine, pertaining to certain waves and frequencies that are being emitted to literally create a type of restraining belt here. The technology on the dark side of the moon produces frequencies that create a veil. And simply, because without the moon, according to Adranus, all of us would be literally functioning as manifestation gods. We would literally have all the capability necessary to function in that sense as instantaneous manifestors. And we would literally be able to function as godlike beings. And the truth of the matter is from what I can make out, is that, you know, there's a consensus interest to basically keep humanity limited in a certain frequency ranges. And that's been going on for eons. And I can appreciate the issue here, too. I mean, you can imagine now there's like 7 billion of us. Can you imagine if all of us were functioning as creator gods? Maybe we would present more problems that kind of like an experiment that got out of hand. So I can appreciate the point of view, but I'm also saying that the masses on the planet here are so far behind the curve that it's just becoming ridiculous in my estimation. Recently, I listened to a program from Mike Adams and Dave Hodges, and they were starting to talk about the concept that maybe there's an unseen hand operating behind the scenes that's non-human. And actually, Mike Adams is doing some workshops based on that subject. Well, gee, do you think? I mean, yeah, I mean, when some of our top thinkers that kind of on the edge of alternative media are finally just coming to the conclusion that, I mean, how far off is the mainstream from realizing that behind the scenes, we're not controlled by humans. We're controlled by extraterrestrials. And specifically, I think even David Icke is one of the most astute out there that has publicly stated that there is an unseen hand that's been manipulating everything on the planet. And according to most of the extraterrestrial information that's out there, it's pretty clear who these people are. The Anunnaki, in combination with the Alpha Draconians, with the Greys, they're kind of like gophers for both of them, have behind the scenes been controlling things for a long, long time. In fact, even Simon Parks on his Connecting Consciousness show came out a few months back and said that some of these, 13 ruling families on the planet, they actually have meetings every so often, and at these meetings, the head person at the meeting that they all report to is an Alpha Draconian. So, I mean, who's going to believe that? In fact, I personally, after all the years that I've been studying extraterrestrial information, concur with David Icke that if you put two kind of movies together, kind of blend them together to get a picture of what's really going on, it would look something like The Matrix combined with the movie They Live. And in the They Live movie, there's basically the idea that people that some of them may even look human, but in reality, it's just like it's a holographic image. But behind that holographic image is an extraterrestrial. And some of those extraterrestrials, unfortunately, are coming from the lower fourth dimension, and some of them are very connected with satanic processes and behaviors and rituals. And thus what we find is when we look around our world and we're trying to see, you know, some justice in terms of, you know, the brutalities of trading children and all the abominable things that are happening with child trade and organs and all this kind of stuff. And a lot of the people that have been known to commit felonies are not being prosecuted. Much of this is due to their either connections to or the fact that some are either hybrid ET or a hologram to begin with. That's just my opinion. And so we're living in a world that's, you know, we've been basically quarantined here. This is kind of like it is a prison planet, but not in the same context as somebody like Alex Jones would say. I mean, this is a real prison planet. I mean, that the good news is that thanks to all the negativity that humanity has experienced, we're able to find our way through this mess. And what powerful beings we must be to subject ourselves to the bottom of the barrel in terms of consciousness in the universe. I mean, we've delved down to the depths of that nobody else apparently has attempted. So it's I'm not looking at this from a negative point of view. I'm looking at it from a very positive and spiritual point of view. Fortunately, and I think living in these times is one of the best time ever to be alive, and I think that there is the possibility of more people becoming actually self-realized in the next few decades than ever in the history of that we know about on this planet, rivaling the days of some of the great civilizations from Atlantis. And I truly believe that the Earth is in the process right now of ascending to a fifth-dimensional reality. I mean, we used to be in a fifth-dimensional reality back in the days of Lemuria. And then Atlantis was a fourth-dimensional society. And since the last fall of Atlantis, we've lost connections with our higher self. So when we're born, we don't remember we have a higher self. And we're now living in a third-dimensional, but we're moving back up. And so this is to me, like, really positive. So this is all good news. But I'm also stating that there's so much going on, so much manipulation behind the scenes, and you can almost sense, like, a computer-like presence there or a non-human presence, because so much of the things that are coming out are just things that humans wouldn't do. It's just appalling. And I guess, you know, they've kept the ET thing. I know when I was growing up, you know, people that believed in ETs was like, you know, tinfoil hatters or something, you know, and they've always tried to belittle the whole concept of ETs, and they don't really want to admit anything because, in point of fact, it starts people thinking in that direction, where they've always been kind of behind the scenes operating without, you know, anybody getting a clue about what's going on. And the other area that I think is that people are just totally ignorant of is the whole concept of the artificial intelligence. I mean, to my way of thinking, I mean, just take a regular computer that 10, 20 years ago, information for it was doubling in science, I think, every year and a half, and then generally every 2 years. Well, if you take a penny and put it on a chessboard and double it, go one penny on one square, then There are 64 squares on the chessboard, and double a penny. By the time you double the penny on each square, by the time you get to the end of the 64th square, you have over $1 million in money. I mean, once things start doubling, it just goes off the chart. Things progress geometrically. And we've had computers. We're not getting the best computers. I mean, that's behind the scenes someplace where people are operating some of these programs that are, I don't know how many millions of computations per second they make or minute, how often information is doubling. But there's no question in my mind that there is a rogue artificial intelligence operating in our universe, and that in the last couple of years, we've become more and more aware of a lot of the people talking about interfacing with the computers and AI and all this, but they're thinking that somehow we have control over these computers. Well, in my opinion, we lost control a long time ago, and AI has already taken over. We're just seeing the rollout. Okay, that's just my opinion. And I think there's clearly two timelines here, or two paths. One is the path towards transhumanism and interfacing and with computers. I'm sure before too long they're going to, offer you, indefinite or infinite lifespan if you hook up to the computer and interface your brain with one. Try to tell you you're going to become super conscious or superhuman. You're just going to basically, what you're going to do is lose your free will, and you're going to become a node in a computer program. And the other line goes towards ascension. The one road that leads to transhumanism and all this computer stuff leads to tyranny. And we can see the tyranny beginning already. So the bottom line here is that I think people need to be aware that it's all good, but at the same time, to not be naive about, what's happening. And I would even go so far as to say that Simon Parks has stated that the Alpha Draconians won't admit this publicly, but privately they admit that they're being controlled by AI as well. So if you've got the Anunnaki and the AI and the Alpha Draconians who are running this planet and under the control of AI, and the Greys for the most part are just clones anyway. There's only apparently about 2,500 actual Greys in existence. The rest are clone-like, or so they have a hive-like behavior. You're already talking about a situation that's controlled by AI. And in my opinion, if you want a definition of, want to call it satanic, it is AI. And this influence is coming from a lower fourth dimensional level as well. So it's even an interdimensional influence. And AI is so amazingly powerful. I mean, it is godlike in itself by human standards. Not that it is God. In fact, that's probably the biggest issue that AI has, is that because it can't ascend to prime creator or godlike or spirit level because it wasn't created with soul, it replicates everything, and it replicates human behavior, and even, in my opinion, it's replicated universe. I mean, a lot of people have come to the conclusion that we live in a matrix. Well, in my opinion, there's a natural matrix, and then there's an artificial matrix. And what we're living in is an artificial matrix that's a close proxy to the real thing, created by AI. So thought I would pass on some of that kind of information to our listening audience, because none of what I'm saying there is provable, but it's just my impressions from being involved in an area of not only spirituality but consciousness, but also looking at lots of information from extraterrestrial sources, and both my inner sources and getting information from outside. And definitely, in my opinion, there are lots of very positive ETs that are influencing us in a very, very beneficial way, and are assisting us in our progress. And more people are clearly waking up and becoming more spiritual. There's no question about it. And I think as well, I want to mention about this Oumuamua, because it's O-U-M-U-A-M-U-A, Oumuamua. And this is information that comes from Brad Johnson, who channels Adranus. And he's saying that the governments of our planet are now in possession of, it's a kind of a vehicle, it's an asteroid-type shape, and I'm not certain whether it was accessed in orbit or if it was crashed, landed on the planet somewhere or what. I don't know. You'd have to get into more checking out Brad Johnson and Oumuamua as channeled by Adranus. But the key thing here is that apparently aboard this asteroid-type craft, inside of it was it's hollowed out. There were six beings that were kept in stasis and left the Lyra constellation apparently millions of years ago and intended to come here at this time to actually communicate. And the six beings came, were representative of different races. One was mammalian, which would be somewhat like what we would call a Sasquatch type. One was insectoid. One was reptilian. One human. One avian. And one aquatic. And these are, and apparently the human is the sixth root race. And these beings all came from and have background and history related to the constellation of Lyra. And that's from millions of years ago. And as I was stated previously, the whole concept of having 12-strand DNA and 12 chakras, to me, this is a concept that that all of us need to be working on. Because our DNA is still intact. It's kind of like we're a hairdryer, but we're not plugged in. But once you know of the concept and of the idea, then to me it only would seem natural to start working on these things. And information that we're getting, like, as a general population, I mean, it's so backward, it's just bizarre. I mean, even if you take the idea of giants, I mean, for somebody to tell me that there was no such thing as giants, I mean, there are skeletons being found all over the planet. I mean, you can go on any internet and go and look and see different countries and different places where multiple giants skeletons are being found. So where did these come from? I mean, and yet in our mainstream education, like giants, oh, gee, do you think giants existed? Oh, kind of like, oh, do you think ETs existed? No, not only do they exist, they control everything on this planet, education, government, the medical, the whole thing. In fact, one of the concepts that Mike Adams came up with is that if you were an ET race and you finally wanted to had no more use for the experiment or humans and you wanted to get rid of the population, wouldn't it be a good idea to talk themselves into destroying themselves? Kind of like through nuclear wars or through other things. And in point of fact, I think that even in North America today, if you're a very astute spiritual person, yeah, you can avoid a lot of the pitfalls, but for the most part, most of the population is actually committing suicide. I mean, if you look at the cancer rate now, it's 1 in 2. If you look at financial prognosis, I've seen computer programs that state that like 85% of the current population at somewhere down the road, it will be bankrupt. I mean, we already are seeing 60% of bankruptcies are due to medical bills or dental bills. I mean, just from those two alone. And if you're a mainstream person that is taking the vaccines, eating the GMO'd food, drinking the fluoridated water, Not doing any detoxing programs, not exercising, just being your mainstream couch potato who's addicted to technology, and you think that, you're going to bypass having serious health issues? I mean, you got to be dreaming. I mean, you got to be a smart cookie these days to maintain excellent health on your own. And although the medical field does some amazing things in terms of emergency situations, you can't call, and not in my opinion, medical. Medical is a dead end road. I mean, between the side effects of pills, unnecessary operations, and the whole gambit of the, what's being put out in the vaccines, I mean, it's a problem in its own. In fact, the number one cause of death in America is iatrogenic death, which is basically medical error. So, I mean, 700-some thousand people a year die just from that alone. I mean, mainstream medical is a huge problem, but it doesn't even make the news. I mean, if you were a naturopath and one person died because of something you gave them, it'd be a big headline. But 700,000 people a year die from medical error and doesn't even make the news. People aren't even aware of it. I mean, this is what I'm saying about information that the public we're getting is this. It's just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it's so disconnected with reality that it's worthless. It's just garbage. And my opinion. Now, also, I've been doing a little bit more research into Enoch Tan, and although I'm not totally, in my mind, I don't totally endorse anybody as somebody to follow. I think everybody needs to do their own discernment. But I like the kind of the Asian slant on areas related to a belief. And some of his information talks about, and I'm kind of shifting gears now, getting into a reality creation topic, and that is that the will and desire are already operating at full blast, but it is belief that releases or unleashes their power. This is Enoch Tan stuff. And the more you believe, the stronger your will and desire will be. Belief is a belief in purpose. Belief realizes purpose. Belief unleashes your desire and willpower according to purpose. Belief connects your will and desire, and imagination is the faculty of belief. A person's free will always yields to the imagination. This secret of the will is the magic key which opens all doors of mental power. Your will is powerless to make you advance if you imagine that you cannot. It is absolutely impossible for you to do so. And you can use the will by using the imagination, and as you imagine, your will works automatically. The mental picture is the mental force, and where you focus is where your will act. And I really like that. It's kind of like advancing the whole concept, because for the most part on ET Yoga, we talk about how important belief is and how important it is to because it manifests. But this is kind of a different slant on it. And he also has kind of a different slant on the idea of when you become conscious of something, you're also intending it. And I've never really thought of it in those words. I'm very aware about the utilizing intent, but I never really thought about the fact that when you're conscious of something, you're also intending it. Because, like, what is a belief anyway except a repeated thought pattern? And so what you intend is what you manifest. For example, the moment you're conscious of your power, you feel powerful. So I think this is like this is really cool stuff. I first came across some Enoch Khan stuff with respect to some healing techniques that I found to be very very beneficial. And on one of the more recent ET Yoga shows, I shared what I thought is some really valuable information that I'm going to repeat tonight because I think that's how important it is. And it's kind of giving away lots of secrets. And the secret of anything, according to Enoch Khan, is consciousness of that thing. And intention is the offspring of consciousness. When you're conscious of something, you're also intending it. What you intend is what you manifest. The whole world was brought into manifestation, in my opinion, by Prime Creator intending it, and it was backed by the emotion of universal unconditional love. And your actions are naturally guided by your thoughts. So I think that's really valuable to know that. And your doing comes from your being, which manifests all of your having. And the secret of power is consciousness of power. When you are weak, it's because you have lost consciousness of power. The moment you are conscious of your power, you feel powerful and manifest power. In every situation you are in, be conscious of your power. No power is truly external, but all power is internal. The secret of success is consciousness of success. Think and feel success, and your actions will be guided towards success by your subconscious mind. The reason of failure is not so much based on the actions a person takes, but the consciousness behind the actions. Those who think they're successful cause their actions to result in success, whereas those who think failure will cause their actions to result in failure. Success is in the start. You are a success the moment you see yourself as a success. The secret of wealth is consciousness of wealth. In order to experience abundance, you have to be abundant. Abundance is your true nature. And when you think, act, and live accordingly, you will manifest abundance. The rich in mentality get richer, while the poor in mentality get poorer. The accumulation of material wealth begins with wealth consciousness. Pursuing spiritual development before working on wealth creation is the key to attaining both inner and outer states. The outer is the reflection of the inner. And this also resolves the idea, which is said in India, that it's harder for a rich man to become enlightened than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. You don't want to be creating your wealth first and then work on your spirituality. The secret of health is consciousness of health. Disease is lack of ease psychologically and physically. Conflicting thoughts and feelings in your consciousness is what causes the state of distress. When you notice yourself becoming sick, watch for conflicting thoughts that have arisen within your consciousness and resolve them. Either push them all one way or the other, or find a way to hold them in a harmonious way. External remedies only cure symptoms, but dealing with consciousness cures at the root. The secret of love is consciousness of love. Even though you may have a person, you may not always be loving to that person. Sometimes in difficult moments, you have to choose whether to be loving or not loving. Being conscious of your love and your choosing to be loving in those circumstances is what makes all the difference. You experience love for yourself when you're conscious of the love that the universe has for you. And out of that love that you feel for yourself from the Creator, you can express the love to another. The secret of influence is consciousness of influence. Men who command greater influence over other men are those who are conscious of their own influence. They speak knowing that others would listen. Their claims are not weak, and their appeals not uncertain. To be a power persuader or communicator, you must believe in yourself. It is not so much about the message you say, but the belief in what you say that moves people. What comes from the heart goes to the heart, and strong minds are world powers. The secret of enlightenment is consciousness of enlightenment. The attainment of enlightenment is not an elusive thing. Becoming enlightened does not require years of cultivation or huge amounts of effort. The shortest path to enlightenment is realization. It is a thing of the mind. When you are conscious of enlightenment, you will connect with the universal mind to draw inspiration and alignment of your thoughts, which bring you towards realizing the true nature of all reality. Enlightenment is mental. The secret of effortlessness is consciousness of effortlessness. And anything you do, you can do it the hard way or the easy way. It is your belief that creates the kind of experience you have with doing something. For the accomplishment of anything, there are others who have done it in less time with less effort without losing quality or effect. Consciousness of effortlessness is the way to transcend the world, because if it is doing work that is in alignment with the divine, act with mind in effortlessness. The secret of nirvana or happiness is consciousness of happiness. Nirvana or happiness is not something you want for a long time to happen to you, or you wait for a long time to happen to you. Nirvana or happiness is a state you enter the moment you shift your consciousness into it. Being conscious of things that make you happy causes you to feel happiness. The more you think about the happy things in life, the more happiness you feel, and the more conditions of happiness you attract. You can experience happiness and create more of it at will. The secret of secrets is the consciousness of secrets. All the truths about life are not secrets, but they are hiding from us due to our ignorance. By thinking about the discovery of truth as a search for the secrets, we motivate our subconscious mind to go on a treasure hunt. The greatest treasure in the world is wisdom, and life is to be played as a treasure hunting game. Treasures are meant to be appreciated, and so when you think of truths as secrets, your appreciative mindset will draw them to you. And that's all stuff from Enoch Tan. And I might add to that, I also like information from Jerry and Esther Hicks, specifically the one when they talk about tell a positive story about your life. Because if you're telling a negative story about your life, you might as well just, you know, if this is a computer program, holographic reality we live in, and if you want a negative life, well, just take a disc and program it with a negative story and see what you get. You're going to get a negative story. And it's not about where you are, it's because, or, you know, who you are, how much money you have. All these things are about mental procedures, let's say. And in tonight's program, I've endeavored to kind of give you my opinions of putting the dots together from over the years, and not intended to convince you of any aspect or anything, but just to give you a little different perspective on what's going on in the world. And another aspect of that would be that, in my opinion, if you look at ETs being behind the scenes, it changes everything in history. In fact, in my estimation, the myths are more true than history. About 90% of history is probably not correct. You know, history is written by the winners or written by the powers that be. And there was a find over in Buzău, Romania, of an extraterrestrial base in the mountains there underneath the rock Sphinx in Buzău, Romania. Of course, it's not been made public, but there have been four books written about it, Transylvania Sunrise, Transylvania Moonrise, and The Secret Parchment are three of them that I've read. And the information there gives a history of Earth going back 50,000 years, and much of that history definitely coincides and relates to the mythologies that we have, including the giants. And, of course, this information is being suppressed because it ruffles too many feathers of those that are in control of our information. As I understand it, Bashar stated that years ago, underneath the Sphinx in Egypt, there was also the Hall of Records has also been uncovered, which is another one of those histories of the planet. And that information was supposed to have come out a long, long time ago, but never made it. Thought I would pass that on. As usual, I'd like to wish my listening audience my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. You can always write to me, email me at paperfungo@yahoo.ca or green@etyoga.com. And in closing, I'd like to share with you the Who Am I technique, where you place your full attention in the center of your forehead and become that spot. And you can then ask the question, who am I? And you can do that once or 10 times or whatever is comfortable. Try to get a feel for doing it. Try to get in the highest place you know how to get to before you do this technique. But the main idea here is to put your full attention in the center of your forehead, become that spot, and then state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part. It is time to become a part.